works. We obey even when we can't see, even when we may not totally understand or don't know how things will end. Faith, forsaking all, we trust him. In one of, I think, the most dramatic accounts in the New Testament, a brother dies. His sisters would be left without any means of support, and in their grief, they reach out to a very close friend, Jesus, hoping he can turn things around. The story of the raising of Lazarus only appears in John, and it is so familiar, I think, that we can easily gloss over it and think of it as just another miracle, one of the many that we've come to expect from Jesus. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. He was now sick. He was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is very sick." I think it must have been very difficult for Jesus not to drop everything and offer help to the family. After all, they were his friends. He cared for them. But Jesus was so connected to God, so in tune with the workings of his Abba, that he already knew the outcome. When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Jesus never made a move unless it was his Father's will. He showed incredible restraint, and this time was no different. It was always in God's time. Jesus was never in a hurry. And for any of us, this is our story, waiting and watching a brother or a loved one, knowing that Jesus could have prevented it. Mary and Martha have seen him heal people. They knew what he was capable of. Where was he when they needed him the most? Martha gets word that Jesus is on his way, and she leaves her sister Mary and goes to meet him. But she tells him that if he had come earlier, Lazarus could have been spared. I think this is a touching moment. For Martha spoke half with an accusation that she could not hold back, and half with a faith that could not be shaken. Maybe what she really wanted to say was, "When you got the message, why didn't you come at once? And now you've left it and it's too late." But no sooner are the words out of her mouth than they are followed by the words of faith that defied the facts and defied experience. "Even yet," she said with a kind of desperate hope, "even yet I know that God will give you whatever you ask." And Jesus assures her that her brother will rise again. He said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she said. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into this world." She doesn't ask how her brother will come alive. It's as if she's heard that promise. Instead, she acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God who came into the world. But her brother was still dead, and that had not changed. And when they needed him, he was nowhere to be found. It's that not how we are with our faith. We profess certain beliefs. We recite the creed. We know all the phrases. We know church language. But like Martha and Mary, our problem is not necessarily belief, but practice. Anybody agree with that? Living out the promises, walking the walk, demonstrating our faith in action, and then exercising restraint when everything we want to do, we want to fix it. Jesus tells her that her brother will rise again. And Jesus is telling us that the Lazarus in us will rise again. We will come out of the tomb. We will be free from paralyzing anxiety, yo-yo faith, hopelessness, despair, lack of joy, pride, unforgiveness, envy, and a whole host of others. Jesus knows what's dead in us. He knows our tombs, the places where he does not live, those dark places that we are unable to break free from. And Jesus knows the stones we have placed in front of our hearts. He knows that a life lived in him is stronger than any death, because Christ is a big picture kind of guy. Our faith is often limited to only what we can see with our natural senses, but Jesus calls us to come to him with eyes of trust. And the sisters have come to a crossroad where the overwhelming circumstances, the death of their brother, was forcing them into a deeper relationship with Christ in the present, not in some future. And Jesus calls them to go deeper so that when they believe, so that believing to them becomes as natural as breathing. And Jesus asked, "Do you believe this? Do you believe that I, the Son of the living God, can overcome death, can heal, can make the blind see, can make the lame walk, can change us from the inside out so that we become the righteousness of God in him?" The raising of Lazarus from a physical death was a spectacular confrontation, and those who witnessed it that day never forgot it. Yet the real miracle is when Jesus gave the life givers, he offers his life for us. And we receive a gift that keeps on giving. For life with Christ is not a gift after death. It is a gift for us now. Jesus came to live among us, to comfort us, to weep with us, to walk alongside when things get tough. And he says, "Look, take hold of me. Take hold of my eternal life promise and watch fear change to trust, pretense to openness, loneliness to companionship." And Martha's gift of spiritual life was far more important than the gift of Lazarus' physical life, because Lazarus would experience physical death again. But Martha and Mary, you and I, with Jesus Christ, will experience his life that will never die. Roll the stone aside. Jesus spoke his word of command, and then he prays. "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of those people standing here, that they may believe you have sent me." The power that flowed through him was not his power. It was the power of God, because he only sought God's glory. And none of this was about bringing glory to himself ever. It was for God and by God. In the end, this incredible story told by John sets the stage for a larger and more significant event, an essential component of our Christian faith, the resurrection of Christ, the risen Christ. Final proof of the power of Christianity is the sight of what Jesus can do. The power of Jesus turns cowards into heroes, doubters into people of certainty, the selfish into givers, haters into lovers, and those who are lost found. And the desire of God for each one of us becomes the walk that we become, the walking, living proof of his power. And the desire of God is that we come out of our self-imposed tombs and let Christ untie anything that binds us. And then allow God to equip and empower us with the strength not to convince others with words. What does St. Francis said? Preach the gospel, sometimes use words. But to demonstrate in life what Christ has done for us. The death of Lazarus brought a crisis to Jesus, and he was glad, for it gave him the opportunity to demonstrate in the most amazing way what God can do with the power, love, and mercy and grace of the triune God. You and I can jump from a burning house. We can come out of any situation knowing that we were once lost, but now we are found. And we were blind, and now we can see. Let us pray. Lord, please fill our hearts with compassion and inspire us towards random acts of kindness. Grant us the wisdom to understand right and wrong so that we can do justice with our lives. Create a space around each one of us where people can find harmony and treat each other with compassion and kindness. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.